Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
This week on Prime Cuts, John Middlecoff on the Cowboys' Dak Prescott problem, Nick Wright on Caleb Williams, and my top takes of the week. All right, let's welcome in John Middlecoff, former NFL scout, Three and Out at the Volume, his podcast. The Justin Fields story broke. So apparently two or three teams were interested. He wanted the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is interesting because he has Russell Wilson in front of him. One thing I want to say, John, obviously the Bears, this would have been really interesting. So let's say, because I think the Bears desperately wanted this to work with Justin because they could have moved off Caleb Williams and gotten two first, 2 seconds and a fourth. You'd have been set for 5 years. So they were dying for Justin Fields to work. And I think had he caught fire at Thanksgiving like Jordan Love did in mid-October and gone on like an 8-game heater with 11 touchdowns, two picks, 64% completions, they didn't win all the games, but they were really, you watched them like Jordan Love and you thought, okay, there it is. There's that 2-month stretch against multiple teams, AFC, NFC, division games, sellout on the road, and you watch Jordan Love at the end and you're like, all right, dude can play. I'd like to see a few more, but dude can play. I think they kept waiting, John, and they just kept waiting for the 6-game heater. So I think they kind of did give it to like December, and then they just went. And then they watched him against Jordan Love, and you're like, okay, Jordan Love's done more in 3 months than this guy's done in 3 years. Do you believe they waited to the end, or do you think they knew at Thanksgiving it was over?
Yeah, I don't think they waited till the end. I think they, coming into the season, they were hopeful. And then as the season materialized and played out and it was clear they were getting the number one pick, he was done. Because the conviction you have as a general manager when you pick your own player, right? We see it with Chris Ballard right now, Anthony Richardson, or those guys in Houston with CJ Stroud, or even the owner with Bryce Young. You're very invested, right? You put all the work in to draft him, you got to know him, and then you've gone all in to use your draft capital. Ryan Poles did not do that. He's not the GM that drafted him. So anytime that happens, hell, you and I have been talking about this. Do you know what was on the forefront this weekend? And you've been hammering this home. Year two Thanksgiving as a player. Kenny Pickett got 2 years. They shipped him out of town.
Yep.
It was over like that.
And that's one of the most loyal organizations. You and I know that Pittsburgh struggled with that because he was a Pittsburgh kid.
So 100%. They share a stadium.
So yeah, to that point, yeah, I always say now, because of all the 7-on-7 drills in the camps, you used to get end of the third year. Like Peyton Manning first couple of years, you're like, there's something there, but a lot of interceptions, doesn't move. I think it's Thanksgiving second year, and everybody's like, raise your hand in the room, and they were done with him.
I think making that trade, and it has a chance to be one of the greatest trades of all time, right? The Carolina Panther trade for Ryan Poles. If Caleb Williams just becomes, he doesn't even need to become Patrick Mahomes. If he just becomes a top 10 quarterback, which the Bears have never really had, definitely in my lifetime, it's a game changer for the franchise. But let's say they didn't have that pick and just had their 9th pick. They probably don't do this deal, not because they love Justin Fields, because they don't control their own draft. But once you get that number one overall pick, and he's so clearly such a talented player, right? The other thing is it resets the contract. the other thing that was on, it's crazy. I like you, just tried to get away this weekend, and the quarterback action was insane. The dominoes hit and they all started going. Contracts matter. And the reason Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett went for more than Justin Fields and Mac Jones, those guys have 1 year left on their contract. Neither of them are going to get their fifth-year option, meaning they're a free agent at the end of the year. The Philadelphia Eagles did a pick swap from the third and fourth round because they get a guy on a two-year contract making $7 million. Even Jerry Jones, well, Trey Lance went for more than these guys. Yeah, because Jerry got him for two seasons, a little bit of an overpay. But the contracts and the money, this is not fantasy football in a vacuum. There are actual contracts. There's a salary cap. And that was a problem. Once Mac Jones went for the sixth-round pick, he has shown to play at a higher level than Justin Fields. Now, if I had to work with one today, I would rather take a chance on Justin Fields.
Yeah.
But that was the comp for him. Like they were never getting like some third-round pick. That was the going rate. And I don't quite believe there are a lot of teams beating down the door. They were interested at this number. But look at all these quarterbacks. All the action happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Everyone was just patient. Let's see. We're not going to overpay. If anything, in our minds, we're going to underpay. A six-round pick, Colin, that's nothing.
Well, and also a defensive coach is where he lands. So if I'm Justin Fields, I was praying that McVay wouldn't take Garoppolo, he'd take me. I was praying if Darnold goes to Minnesota, maybe Shanahan goes, get over here for a year. Like, to me, it's so obvious, especially if you're Justin Fields and you're thinking to yourself, I've had a defensive culture, I have a defensive coach, just watch the league, watch what's happening. Go to an offensive coach. Mac Jones, say what you want. He played high school in Jacksonville. He'll be close to family. You know, he can kind of reboot the emotional part of the sport. I got mom and dad around. And also, it's an offensive coach. They've spent a shit ton of money in Jacksonville on offense the last several years. It may not work, but it's a better environment for him than defensive-driven Belichick in New England. If Justin Fields really chose Pittsburgh, you got Russell Wilson, who you know and I know is going to get, you know, quarterback one snaps first day of practice. And the second thing is, it's a defensive culture that once again overspends for a linebacker. So I didn't, that part of it, I'm thinking, when I read that Justin Fields had options, I'm like, I'd like to know the other options, because if one of them was an offensive coach, I'd take it. Dallas is strange. It's a bad running back class. And Dallas really didn't make a big swing. Now, I thought they should have gotten Derrick Henry at the trade deadline last year. I thought Pollard, to me, is a kind of an average two. He's an off-speed pitch. Pollard's not a one. Dallas tends to be insular. Jerry likes to validate his picks. They have always re-signed their picks to a higher level than anybody else in the league. Dallas didn't do a ton. Now, they let go of Michael Gallup. We know they're going to pay CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons and Dak a lot of money over the next 2 years. But I thought to myself, Dallas, you know, this has been my knock on them. They'll be pretty good. But I've seen this. Go look at Philadelphia's skill people. I mean, from the tight ends, two backs, two receivers, Jalen Hurts, a better offensive line than certainly Giants. So Saquon should succeed just because the Eagles have a better front than the Giants do and a better quarterback and weapons. So safeties can't crowd the box against the Eagles like they can against the Giants. So Saquon should be a hit. You start listing Dallas's skill people. You have a B-plus quarterback. If CeeDee Lamb twists an ankle, there is no elite players there. Like, to me, I understand in free agency you overpay, but I look at Dallas as an injury away to CeeDee Lamb as a lot of dependency on Dak.
I think they have a Dak Prescott problem, not because he's some bad player, but because of his contract situation. He has the second highest cap hit in the league behind Deshaun Watson, $60 million for this 1 year. That's taken up like 24% of their salary cap. But the problem is, you could extend him and get that number way down, but are you comfortable giving him a $200 million Russell Wilson extension? If he had shown you more the last 2 years when it mattered, they wouldn't hesitate. He would already have an extension. They would have had more wiggle room, and they would have been able to sign players. I think they're a little terrified to give him a huge extension. They can say whatever they want, and Jerry never stops talking. It's entertaining. But their actions are telling you everything you need to know. They're at least hesitant. They may end up doing it, but they're at least for the first time thinking like, this is, are they going to play this year out on the $60 million contract? And just, they can't be a one and done team in the playoffs anymore and give this quarterback $250 million guaranteed money. Because ultimately, Dak, his last contract that he signed, how long ago, he was making $40 million. And he has statistically played a lot better since. What do you think he's asking for? At minimum, probably 4 or 5 years, couple hundred million, $200 million guaranteed.
Have you seen the splits? So, and I could be wrong on this. Dak has only won, I think, 9 games in his career when he has under 100 rushing yard support. I think that's the number. I did it last week on the show, and I don't have it in front of me. But there is an absolute, I mean, we have Mahomes in the Super Bowl leading the Chiefs in rushing. We have Josh Allen, Lamar in big games leading the team in rushing. If Dak does not get 100 yards rushing, his winning percentage is like 35. And I think it was he only has 9 career wins when he has under 100 yards rushing. I think that's the number. He's very dependent. Remember, he broke into the league with a great run game and a great O-line.
Yeah.
And he was 13-3. And he really shocked the world. But then people get filmed. They see limitations. Then he dips. Then they get Amari Cooper. He goes back up. So between the O-line, Zeke, and Amari Cooper in his prime, Dak's always kind of needed elevation. Whereas a Mahomes, we know this, Mahomes elevates everybody. I mean, it's Travis Kelce playing for 80% of the quarterbacks in this league is a really good Pro Bowler. He's not Travis Kelce. He's not this. So I just look at Dallas and I'm like, you have these numbers. They're all telling, and it's a bad running back draft. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I just think they're with the, you know, they've had success statistically, obviously not in the playoffs. McCarthy's not, he can say whatever he wants about, I want to run the ball more. Look at his history. He likes to pass. He did it with Aaron Rodgers. He's done it with Dak Prescott. Like, I just don't think he can say whatever he wants, because that's coming from Jerry. He wants to throw the ball around the yard. And we've seen Dak in these spots now in the playoffs. He's thrown to the other team. If you put Dak with one of the Shanahan guys where run first, LaFleur or Kyle, and took the pressure off him, he would be much better situated. But McCarthy, because all of his success, the way I think he fundamentally views offensive football, spread it out and throw it around. and Dak, like you said, he's not only not Mahomes, he's not Josh Allen. He can't do like physically with Justin Herbert. He is much better to be a balanced quarterback. That's most guys. There's 2 or 3 guys that you feel good. Even Trevor Lawrence, more than likely, he's going to need some help. He's not going to be able to carry it, turns out.
Think about this. Think about what the rookie quarterback, think of what Sam Darnold is inheriting in Minnesota. An elite running back, an elite left tackle, the number one receiver, Jordan Addison, a 2, Hawkinson, tight end, and a really clever offensive coach. Sam Darnold, I think this year, if he stays healthy and they're kind of patient with him and they watch J.J. McCarthy, Sam Darnold could end up, not because he's brilliant, but he's got one of the best. I mean, if we ranked left tackle, star receiver, 2 receiver, tight end, running back,
they'd be up there.
At top 60. Sam Darnold's going to do a Baker. You're going to look up and go, Minnesota's in the playoffs. Not because Baker's great, although Baker's always had talent, Sam's had talent. But I think Darnold has a chance to be the Baker story next year. There's just too many good players here. I look at Dak and I think to myself, Green Bay's young and good. Detroit's young and good. Here comes Minnesota, San Francisco, Rams, Saquon Eagles. My gut is, in an offensive league, Dallas doesn't have enough punch. If I told you CeeDee Lamb week 8 goes down for a month and a half, this is not a playoff team.
Yeah, we'll see maybe they draft a wide receiver high, but you know, sometimes you hit on them and they become Zay Flowers, and sometimes they become Jalen Reagor, right? Or the dude the Chargers took. So it's a 50-50 coin flip. Ferguson, the tight end, is pretty damn good. But
yeah,
but you know,
he's solid.
I'm with you. I mean, they are very, very dependent, and he's really on the 2 guys. And this is why financially, I wasn't shocked at all when they signed nobody. Dak takes 23%. They're paying DeMarcus Lawrence a ton. They got to pay CD. They got to pay Micah Parsons. No one takes care of his own guys that he drafts like Jerry Jones.
It's crazy.
I mean, if they had space, people would be lined up to go there, but they never have any space because he's overpaid. Now, luckily, he's drafted pretty well. So a lot of Zach Martins and CD Lambs, and you know, you feel pretty good about a lot of Micah Parsons. But you make a wrong decision on Zeke, or all of a sudden you not only have no cap, you're missing, like, you don't have as many good players as you should. And now They lose Dan Quinn. Now they get Mike Zimmer, but I'd say Dan's a little more positive. Mike's a little more old school negative. I get why Jerry likes him because he was there in the heyday with Dion, but that's something to keep an eye on. Him and Vic, right? They're two of, I would put them just on a game-to-game basis. Defense. No one knows more defensive football now that Belichick's out of the league than those two guys. For this new generation, they're old school. They're a lot to handle for these 23-year-old kids. Unless you're coming from Nick Saban or Kirby, some of these guys are like, what the hell is this? So it's a lot.
In discussions on podcasts or broadcasts with people who monetize headlines, that's not a knock on McAfee or Rogan. It's the business. Well,
yeah.
You're going to be a topic. You're going to get a headline. But the other thing is, you know, with Aaron, is that I kept thinking to myself, Green Bay is laughing their ass off. Aaron goes, usually when the star quarterback goes, it's a turbulent year. I thought Green Bay by the end of the year was better than they were last year with Aaron. Jordan Love's got all these young kids. And my take on that presidential nominee thing is, you know, Green Bay sitting there thinking, we told you, like this, you're just going to get headlines, not all negative, but I don't think you can have a non-football locker room with Aaron. I just think this is who he is.
Yeah, I would separate the two. I thought the CNN report, I mean, a decade old hearsay. That's an insane thing to report.
I didn't
like,
tweet
if it. I was Aaron Rodgers, I'd be fucking pissed. Like half the people in the media tweeting, like, give me a, no one knows. Like that's extreme. The VP thing, it was like kind of believable because they're boys. That felt like Aaron, like, we're not doing quite enough. Remember when I took the pay cut? Like, hey guys, I just rehabbed my ass off and we feel a little bit like the Packers. Like, where are our moves? That's what that felt like. Cause I heard someone say this and they were right. The VP doesn't pay $50 million a year. He ain't going to be the vice president. Rich people don't go into politics till they get older and bored. Aaron's still young and rich and he ain't leaving the NFL. But that did feel a little bit Green Bay-ish, a little different tactic. But like, oh my God, come on, Aaron. That would have been one, if you respected your employer, you just would have just tweeted out, like, this is the stupidest report ever, guys. I can't wait to see it OTAs. Because he did it about the Sandy Hook, which obviously is a much more powerful headline than being the VP. A lot of people making fun of him. But it's also like, you do, like, you're making a lot of, paid a lot of money. They've gone all in on you. They threw you a lifeline because you wanted out of Green Bay. And then what happened after that report? They've made some moves. It did feel a little bit, I couldn't do the, you know, the source gymnastics, the reporter thing. I don't know, but it did feel like,
well,
he might've had a little something behind that one.
He did it with a Jeopardy. Remember he flirted in the off season with Jeopardy. We don't think he wanted to do Jeopardy. That's not what he wanted to do. But I think to your point,
does Jeopardy pay $50 million? I don't think it does. I think it pays well, but not 50.
It's probably 8 to 10, not 50. Yeah.
It's Sam Darnold.
All right. The NBA season is in full swing, coming down the stretch. Then we move right into the playoffs in April, May, and June. I can't wait. Spice things up with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA right now. All you have to do is put down $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Pretty good trade-off. I pay $5, I get $150. North Carolina listeners, do not forget. Welcome to the party. DraftKings Sportsbook now live in your state, North Carolina. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Takes 90 seconds. The code is Colin, C-O-L-I-N. Again, 90 seconds. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Put in Colin. New customers bet $5, get $150 back in bonus bets instantly. That is the trade. Code is always Colin. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario, one no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we bring in Nick Wright. You know, one of the things that I think is fascinating about Caleb Williams is that, and I think I've told you this story, when I interviewed a couple of times President Obama, they give you about 10 minutes to the second. That's what they give you. And then they cut you off. And so the second time I interviewed him, I asked him a question that he clearly wanted to talk about because he gave a long, well-thought-out answer. And my question was, you're the first president in my life to deal with the vile nature, the aggressive attack dog style of social media. Jimmy Carter didn't deal with this, Reagan, Clinton, nobody dealt with this, George Bush. And it does, if not change policy, it does change the momentum and the direction of day-to-day operations when you're on the defense because of social media and reacting to it. And the reason I bring this up is, so I always looked at what he was dealing with, having to have a beer with Joe the plumber because something went sideways on social media, which is, I mean, that guy was a dolt. But the point being is Reagan wouldn't have had to do that. He'd have to have dinner with Tip O'Neill, not a beer with Joe the plumber, because you get this avalanche downhill on social media. So it's a reality of the stakes now, but what it creates, these micro avalanches on policy decisions or just a quip from cable TV. So similarly, Caleb Williams is the first NIL superstar. And so he paints his fingernails, or he jumps into the crowd to see his mother, or he's moody on the sidelines. No, he gets that because he makes more than 90% of the coaches in college football. And I'm going to give him that because I remember my first contract and I thought I was king shit and I was making nothing. And so a 22-year-old, so I look at Caleb whenever I hear the pushback on, oh, there's a little ego. I'm like, have you read Twitter? And
everybody's so here's got a counter.
Ego. Yeah.
So here's maybe this is too galaxy brain.
Yeah.
But, and maybe I'm just too pro Caleb, but here would be argument as to why that's actually good. Caleb's one of the first superstar football draft picks that we know what he's like with money. for good or for bad. It's so that you understand what I mean? Like, yes. He's not, it's not as, you don't worry, oh, when this guy gets, you know, his first $1 million check, is how is he going to go off the deep end? Is he gonna, you know what I mean? Whatever, however millions of dollars were going to affect him, they already have. And so, for, again, you can, people can take shots at it, but it's a variable removed. You know what Caleb Williams is like, rich, because he's rich already. You know what I mean? And maybe it's not exactly the way you would like him to act. But again, you said when you forgot your first contract, I've told you this before. I've never, ever judged when people talk about athletes blowing money.
Yeah.
Because I won 50 grand on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and I blew it immediately. And I was smart and should have known better. And it was only 50,000 when I was 22. I can't imagine if I had, you know, got 10 million, what I would have thought. But we know what Caleb is like with money. We don't, you don't have to worry about that. I think that's actually a plus.
Yeah. Anytime you're the first dealing with something, it's difficult, yeah. Right? Like sometimes, you know, I think about this all the time. I was kind of a talented workaholic mess until I was like 33 with my kids. And by the way, dad was a doctor. Mom worked in the school, you know, lived in the same house. No abuse in my life. That's a bit of a mess. And how many athletes don't have that structure or don't have, somebody in there? I mean, I've always known what to do, for instance, with money. My dad was in the market. My dad had doctor friends. I was a mess until I was 33. And I think we forget this. So now you have some of these kids and these NIL kids, they get money, or these young athletes. Oh, I always say, I don't know what I would have done with 100,000. Caleb made like 4.5 million.
So that's my point. I do know what, at 22 with a college degree, with educated, smart parents, successful parents, I would do with 50,000. And the answer is gamble and go to the gentleman's club every single night till it was gone, which is what I did. It was gone. I bought a television and nothing and good times for 200 days. Won some money, lost some money. The nights I won, I took my friends out. When people are like, oh, these guys are paying for everyone else's lifestyle. Of course, because the moment you can afford the steakhouse, you don't want to go to Fuddruckers anymore. You right. just don't.
Right.
And nobody wants to eat alone. So guess what? We're all going. It's on me. It was, again, I'm not an idiot. I knew 50 grand at $800 a night, 50 grand is not going to last that long, boys. But it always felt like it would last longer than it did. So, yeah, I think everybody, people that I'm not big into being judgmental on early 20s. Because anyone who's, if you had all your shit together in your early 20s.
You're boring. What Kansas City is becoming is New England, a more entertaining version. So who beat New England in the Super Bowl? The Giants twice by an inch, right. And the Eagles on trick plays and maneuvering.
Right.
You got to a point in the AFC, even young Mahomes, nobody was, at the end, they had the cheat code. They knew the Rubik's Cube. Is Big Ben in Pittsburgh were not sophisticated enough offensively? Peyton Manning having to go to Foxborough again? Andy Dalton, roll your eyes. Flacco, you know, may be able to do it once. But really, they mastered the AFC. They had a weak division. They always played in Foxborough. They always got the bye for older teams. And it was like, oh, they win a game and they're in the AFC championship. That's what Kansas City, that's why Harbaugh to the Chargers is good for the league. Now it's like, they can't go on a 2-game losing streak. Now, I don't think the Chargers this year will quite be there. But I think what the Chiefs are becoming is their losses will only be in Super Bowls. I do not believe Burrow's health is trustable. I think Buffalo and Baltimore, this was the year with a young KC offense in Kansas City having to travel. I think Kansas City is going to be New England. The AFC is overwhelmingly, because by the way, there's a really big chance you're not going to get a quarterback as gifted as Josh Allen or as electric as Lamar or as accurate as Burrow. And if they can't do it, you may not get another one.
And if they can't do it, and two of those three got their shot at them this year in their building
and lost with
a wounded Chiefs team.
So it's going to be McVay and Stafford that knock them off.
It's going to have to be, it's football. So weird shit happens.
Right.
You know what I mean? You look back on that New England run, because when you look at it and you're like, how did from the undefeated season until how did they go 7 years from that year to the Seattle Super Bowl without winning? And you look at it and it's like, there was a weird ass game against Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez's Jets. There was the game the Ravens just ran for 300 yards. Like, so weird stuff happened.
Yes.
But there weren't many times it felt like a team just lined up and was, you know what I mean, better prepared and better than them. And the Patriots played their best and lost. You mentioned the Chargers. If you were advising Harbaugh, so I have been, I'm going to admit something to you that you will laugh at. So I have the last 2 years, almost compulsively, I use Pro Football Focus's mock draft tool, I got to give them credit, man. It's a really cool thing where you can pick whichever team you want to control, and their AI will draft for the other teams, offer trades, accept trades. They have like the trade value chart in there, but you can, and they have the, you know, your big board players ranked. You can do a 7-round draft or whatever. And then, so I do a lot of those, and I send my favorite ones to Brett Veach. Like, hey, man,
hey,
just go ahead.
I do the same to Les Snead. I take pictures of mock drafts, send it, and I say, am I close? And he will say, we don't do this. We're interested in it. And he'll give me very subtle reminders on what they do.
So last year I had a guy, and I felt, I was like, oh man, I've ruined my mock draft reputation. And one of the ones I sent him, I had the Chiefs, I won't say the kid's name, taking a kid in the second round. And he was like, actually not bad, except for your second round pick, player X, I think is undraftable because of something, whatever. And then I looked, I was like, I had the Chiefs taking a guy at 58 that did not get picked. Oh boy, like in the real draft, didn't get picked by anyone. But regardless. So I'm really more locked into this year's draft class than anyone before because I keep doing these mock drafts. If you were advising Harbaugh, let's just assume that it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, Caleb, Drake, Jaden, or Jaden, Drake, doesn't matter, and that Arizona stands pat at 4. They're like, we're not trading it. Yeah. We're taking Marvin. So you're the Chargers.
Yeah.
And you have the option to take Neighbors, to take the tackle alt, or to trade the pick with Minnesota for 11, 23, and something else. What would you recommend they do?
Okay, so I am a strong proponent of I picked the right career. You have to lean in to certain advantages, and I use the metaphor all the time. Ride the wave. Life presents you with waves. We're all surfers. Take the wave. So I'll give a story to the audience. So when I first moved to Manhattan Beach on Saturdays, I'd get a big coffee at Pete's Coffee or something. I would go down and I would watch the surfers. I'd walk out to the pier and watch the surfers. And what I noticed over the course of time is the very best surfers rode the fewest waves. They were very selective. They wanted long. So they chose the best wave. So I use that metaphorically in my life a lot. There's things I'm good at, things I'm not. I'm no longer trying to, trying to prove I'm good at everything. About 15 years ago, I came to the conclusion, ride the wave of life. And that was, and I wasn't in Manhattan Beach yet, but it was really a crystallized moment where I watched this and I thought, God, the smartest surfers are not wasting their time on shit. They're just waiting an hour for the best wave. So if you're Jim Harbaugh, there is a wave you need to ride for 2 years. You have a significant advantage over every other NFL coach and college personnel because Michigan only recruits 4 and 5 star players.
Because you played against these kids or you recruited against them.
You know the odometer. You know all the backstory. You've met the parents. So if I'm the Chargers for the next 2 years, I do a ton of trading down.
I totally agree.
And like, I would take the five, I'd say Minnesota, you want a quarterback, you move up. We'll take your other one, a three, a four
11,
this year.
23 and something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a wave advantage. Jim knows personnel. This was always the problem with Belichick after he seized power after, you know, multiple Super Bowls. He didn't watch games on Saturday. He was a terrible drafter. Pete Carroll, when he seized control for briefly in Seattle, Paul Allen's illness, Jody Allen was not a football fan. Paul really kept his thumb on the organization. Pete took control of the front office. The drafts went into the tank. You can't do both. Harbaugh for 2 years can. Pete could early. So I would trade. I have thought about this. I would trade down twice. I would trade down Minnesota to 11. And then, by the way, because they need weird things like a center, like a tight end.
They probably take that center from Oregon, I think he is, with three names. He's going to be available at 20. Yep.
They exactly could trade right down to 18, 20 and have 13 picks. So I think, again, back to the wave, you have to take, this is what won Pete Carroll the Super Bowl.
So that's
he was hitting
I'm
home runs in the
do
fifth round.
As a Chiefs fan, so everyone's like, oh, are you afraid if the Chargers are going to get Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers at five? And I'm like, man, I hope they do. Not because those guys aren't good players, but because adding a great wide receiver to a team that just lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, that's not going to make them, you know, demonstrably better. They have too many needs. But if they like we just said, turn five into 11, 23 and something else, and then are sitting at 11 and say to any team behind Denver and the Raiders who are at 12, 13, like, hey, do you guys want a quarterback? Because these teams do. Do you want 11? And now all of a sudden they have, you know, 17, 23, a future first, an extra third, all these things. That's how the Chargers can very fast get right back into it. I have another draft thing that I want to throw at you, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's okay. All right. So people think four quarterbacks can go in the top 10, right? The three guys and then J.J. McCarthy, which I don't understand the J.J. McCarthy thing. I'm not a college football expert, but one of the teams I watched a lot was Michigan. And never once did I watch Michigan was like, that guy's a future top 10 pick, but yeah. What do I know?
Yeah.
So those four guys, Marvin Harrison and Nabers, are definitely going in the top 10. People think Adunze might be able to, whatever, but let's say those two. Joe Alt, the best tackle, and then maybe another tackle, and maybe Brock Bowers, maybe Rome Adunze. Here's why I say that. I just listed eight, maybe nine, 10 guys. They're all offensive players. So if you're there, this is similar to the 2021 draft, which had all those five quarterbacks and they went earlier or whatever. All of a sudden, Micah Parsons is on the board at 11 because only two defensive players have gone. If you're a team that needs defense, you might be able to get the third defensive player taken in this draft at pick 15. Like, that's not an exaggeration. Right. Like, there'd be either four quarterbacks, three wide receivers, Brock Bowers at tight end, two or three tackles that everybody loves. That's a dozen players. And so if you need a defensive player, you might be able to get the best defender in the draft with the 11th pick of the draft, which is crazy. But I really think we could have 10 straight offensive players off the board.
The Volume.
Thanks so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, take a moment, rate, and review.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.